C3 AI software enables organizations to use artificial intelligence at enterprise scale, solving previously unsolvable business problems. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
Here's your money briefing for Thursday, December 2nd. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. You've got a great job. You like your boss. The pay and benefits are good. But should you be thinking about your next job, even if you're happy in the one you're currently in? Some job recruiters say yes.
Cultivating this type of relationship is like any other type of networking. It's definitely best when you're just looking to form the relationship and not necessarily making an ask just yet.
So what exactly can recruiters do for you, and how early should you make the initial connection with one? Our workplace reporter Catherine Dill will be here to talk about it after the break.
C3 AI software enables organizations to use artificial intelligence at enterprise scale, solving previously unsolvable business problems. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
Record numbers of workers are leaving their jobs or are planning to make a career change. And while some may have enlisted recruiters to help them land a new job, when's the right time to make that connection? WSJ workplace reporter Catherine Dill wrote about the relationship between recruiters and potential job seekers, and she's here to talk about it. Catherine, thanks so much for being with us.
My pleasure.
So, Catherine, let's start with the basics here. What kinds of services do recruiters typically provide?
So a recruiter's job is to find candidates to fill open roles for employers. So recruiters are out in the job market looking for people who might have the particular skills needed to do a particular job.
But for a potential job candidate, there are already lots of resources available for job hunting. So what does a recruiter add to that?
A recruiter can sort of smooth the process. They're often looking for quite specific things. And so they can more quickly make the connection often between a job seeker and a company. And that's why companies use recruiters, certainly. And so a job seeker getting to know a recruiter can help make that sort of transaction happen even more quickly.
And that leads me to my next question. How does a recruiter make a living in this process? Now, you mentioned that they work with companies, but do they ever charge the job seekers?
Typically, companies pay recruiters to fill jobs. That may work a little bit differently. You know, a recruiter may work internally for a company, or they may work at a staffing agency or work independently, you know, at their own firm. But it's the company usually who is looking to fill the job that will be making the payment. There are some exceptions to that here and there. There are, you know, types of recruiters that, you know, potentially job seekers can work with for payment. But traditionally, it's the company that's looking to fill the job that will be making the payment.
Okay, so it sounds like there are different kinds of recruiters. How should someone go about trying to find the right one?
Well, you're going to want to be sure that you're looking to reach out to recruiters who fill the types of jobs that you might be looking for or might one day be looking for and that you have the skills for. So, for example, there are recruiters that focus on particular geographies. There are recruiters that focus on particular companies or industries or types of job. And you're going to want to be sure that you're looking for the right type of recruiter. And so a good way to do that can be looking at LinkedIn, looking at recruiting firms, taking a look at recruiters' Twitter presences and the things that they're sharing across social media. That can be a good way to get a look at what a particular recruiter is looking for.
You know, with all this activity going on and people leaving their jobs in record numbers, is it fair to say it's a hot market now for recruiters?
Yes, that's fair to say. For recruiters both looking for job seekers and for recruiters themselves who are also in high demand right now. And so, you know, there's things that job seekers should be prepared for. For example, you know, lots of recruiters may be reaching out to you on LinkedIn. You may respond, you may hear nothing. It's a sort of wild market right now, and there is a fair amount of turbulence. But it's also a great opportunity to get to know a recruiter. So someone may reach out to you about an opportunity that you are not interested in or not interested in right now. But it's definitely worth responding and seeing if you can find out what sorts of things they're looking for, if you can keep in touch for the future. And as one person I spoke with for the article pointed out, recruiters change jobs too. So you never know where they may end up as a person in your network in the future.
And many recruiters you spoke with feel that the best time to make a connection with a recruiter is while someone still has a job, or maybe not even looking for a change. Has that always been the case?
Definitely, that was a point that recruiters made. And certainly cultivating this type of relationship is like any other type of networking. It's definitely best when you're just looking to form the relationship and not necessarily making an ask just yet. It's a better, more organic, and certainly more likely to be fruitful in the future approach here. And a lot of the recruiters I spoke with pointed out recruiters are people too. And so you want to be sure that you're getting to know them and you're making the right connection before you're just reaching out and looking for what feels like a favor.
Yeah, it sounds like that connection can't happen too early, even if you're not looking for a new job.
Absolutely. One of the recruiters I spoke with said, you know, the time to be planting seeds for your career down the road is always now. And so she suggested, you know, do a quarterly check-in on your career. You know, even if you're happy, refresh your resume, get to know some more people in your industry, and get to know a few recruiters periodically. You know, set yourself a calendar reminder. It's certainly better to do, and you're able to have calmer and more focused and nuanced conversations before you're frantically looking for a new job because you've been laid off or you've been, you know, reorged into a group that you really hate or suddenly, you know, your job has taken a turn in some way that you need to get out. It's a better time to do it when you're feeling more stable and settled than it is when you need to act immediately.
And what's the chain of communication here? After someone makes the initial contact with a recruiter, should the worker check in with the recruiter, and how do they do that without, you know, being a pest? Because there's potentially a lot at stake here.
Sure. Just like any other relationship, it's perfectly fine to check in if you don't hear something for a while. But the other thing is, once you've made a connection with a recruiter, you know, you can just go ahead and ask, what's the best way for us to keep in touch? What would you prefer? This is something that someone I spoke with, she said, if you ask 10 recruiters, they'll have 10 different answers. And so some may say, you know, let's have coffee once a month, or let's talk on the phone, you know, every quarter or so, or like, let me reach out to you when I've got the time, but you know, I'll certainly keep you in my portfolio. You can ask pretty directly how they want to carry the relationship forward.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal reporter Catherine Dill. Catherine, thanks so much for being with us.
My pleasure.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for the Wall Street Journal.
If only life had a remote control, you could pause or rewind. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the 1-minute risk test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.